President Trump visits the National Institutes of Health this afternoon as his administration continues to deal with COVID-19, the illness caused by the new coronavirus. At a rally in North Carolina last night, the president offered hope that there may be a vaccine soon.
Today, we met with the big, great pharmaceutical companies, and they're really working hard and they're working smart. And we had a great meeting today with a lot of the great companies, and they're going to have vaccines, I think, relatively soon.
That runs counter to what public officials and scientists think. They say a vaccine is probably more than a year away. How presidents handle the unforeseen can often shape or at least influence their legacies. And we want to talk about that now with Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Hi, Julian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we should add that it's also an election year, which makes this a little bit different. But is this a fundamentally different kind of crisis than any that Trump has faced so far?
It is. It's not located in a specific place anymore. It involves many different issues and many different components. It's widespread. It's more unpredictable than many of the other situations and crises he's encountered. And finally, it will require, and it does require, a vast mobilization of expertise and different parts of government. And so all this falls on him. And it also requires a certain calming effect that we look for from presidents.
And also, it's not a crisis that he had any part in making. For example, it's not like a trade war where he can just say, okay, let's make a deal now.
That's exactly right. It's not a quick solution, despite what he's saying, even on vaccines. From what we're hearing, it's going to be a long time until there's a quick fix. So he's not directly responsible. And at the same time, there's no instant solution to something like this. It requires a lot of hard work in the coming months to try to contain this.
Well, let's talk about some of these kinds of things that have happened in the past, some unforeseen disasters that presidents have had to deal with. In 2010, there was the Deepwater Horizon oil rig, which exploded in the Gulf of Mexico, killing 11 people and creating the largest oil spill ever to occur in American waters. We remember it was spewing oil into the Gulf of Mexico for months. There was a camera on it. It was on TV every day. Here's President Obama speaking from the Oval Office after that disaster.
The oil spill is not the last crisis America will face. This nation has known hard times before, and we will surely know them again. What sees us through, what has always seen us through, is our strength, our resilience, and our unyielding faith that something better awaits us if we summon the courage to reach for it.
A lot of people look to the president to fix that problem, and eventually they did close that leak. How did President Obama handle that crisis?
Yeah, I mean, early on, he comes under a lot of criticism, not just from Republicans, but Democrats who say he's not working fast enough. But he's quite aggressive in dealing with it. He delays offshore drilling leases right away. He coordinates an intergovernmental response from Secretary of Interior, Homeland Security, the APA, and much more. He issues tough words toward BP for being responsible and saying they're going to pay for this bill. And behind the scenes, what we know is he really is quite an effective manager during this crisis at listening to the experts and working with them to contain the spill. And finally, he actually proposes pretty tough environmental rules when this is all over to prevent this from happening again. So even though he's criticized, the more we look back, he was quite effective in dealing with it.
What about President George W. Bush and his response to Hurricane Katrina in 2005? 3 days after that storm flooded New Orleans, the president went to Louisiana and praised the work of FEMA director at the time, Michael Brown. Let's listen.
There's going to be plenty of opportunities to help later on. But right now, the immediate concern is to save lives and get food and medicine to people so we can stabilize the situation. Again, I want to thank you all for, and Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Brown resigned 10 days later. How does Bush's response to Katrina figure into his legacy?
Yeah, it was very damaging. His polls fall very quickly, and this is the moment many historians think that his credibility and his public standing was weakened. There was that moment, which comes when FEMA is not actually responding very effectively to the crisis. They had been slow. They were delayed. It wasn't even clear what their plan was. He also had taken a famous picture on Air Force One flying over the damaged area, which was meant to be a PR moment to show that he was taking care of this and thinking about it, but it looked like he was distant. he himself admitted that. And it really becomes a low point in his presidency, the way this was handled.
What about when presidents get it right in a crisis that they have to deal with? You point to President Reagan's response to the Challenger disaster.
Yeah, that was a horrible disaster when the Challenger space shuttle explodes and kills everyone on board, including a school teacher who was on board. And school children are watching. Americans are watching. It's just a terrible tragedy. And the president makes a speech on television, which is a powerful piece of rhetoric where he mourns with the nation, but he also comforts the nation. And it's seen as a way a president can use his or her words to try to move the country forward and to try to help them grapple with what's happening.
Now, obviously, the coronavirus is not the fault of President Trump, although people have blamed him for some of the things that were done before, including cutting funding for preparedness for a pandemic. Is it fair to place blame on a president for something that maybe there was no way for him to prepare for?
Well, the preparedness issue is relevant. That was an issue with Katrina also, that when you don't fund the government that you need in moments like this, you bear some responsibility when a crisis happens and you don't have all the resources that you need. He is not the source of the coronavirus, but right now, if he decides not to listen to experts, if he decides to use his bully pulpit to make attacks on the media and Democrats, then as this unfolds, he becomes more deeply implicated in the public health care crisis. So that's why there's a lot of weight on him right now as he responds.
That is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.